Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, hello there, Lainey. I'm so excited to have you on our show, Integrative Cancer or Integrative Lyme Solution with Dr. Karlfeldt. Integrative Cancer Solution is another podcast that I have, and we're not talking about cancer today. I hope at least. No. So, Lainey, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me on.
So where are you at right now?
I live in California. Right now I'm actually up at my mother-in-law's house. We live off-grid, so I don't have Wi-Fi or cell service at my house. So I'm here, but...
So that's the best way, you know, to be completely off-grid. So that way you don't have to have all the 5Gs and all the things that really activate, you know, pathogens when you're dealing with Lyme.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit, how did it all start? I mean, when did you start to notice symptoms and what were they?
So back in 2010, I was bit by a tick. It was embedded for probably 24 hours. It was behind my knee. My knee was just kind of aching. I wasn't sure what was going on. And then eventually I looked in the mirror and saw tick embedded. And at the time I didn't think anything of it. You know, we removed it. Didn't have a bullseye, didn't have any automatic symptoms. Looking back at my medical history, it was probably 2 or 3 months after I started having brand ailments, started going to doctors, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. Anytime I got sick, I got really, really sick, you know, and just like low energy, not anything like super red flag. And, you know, kind of just went through the medical system, was diagnosed with depression, you know, was told I need to work out more, was, you know, just nothing ever came of it. And I started getting like reoccurring kidney infections really bad out of the blue. And it was about 6 years later. That was the first time I was in the hospital. I mean, you look at my medical like history, and it was just in and out of the hospital, just for all these random stuff. Nothing was like ever connected. I mean, random. And so this time I was in for a bad kidney infection, and the doctor there, it was the first time somebody told me, you know, I think there's something seriously wrong with you. He's like, I've done all of these scans. He's like, yeah, you have a kidney infection. He's like, but I feel like there's another infection going on and I can't seem to find it. And so that was the first time I was like, well, maybe something, you know, really is. Maybe it's not just depression and fatigue and all this stuff. But still, I got better from that and didn't really think of it. I got into work as a substance abuse counselor in a male prison, a level 3 yard. I was dealing with clients who had severe trauma. I myself had childhood trauma, and I'm saying this now because looking back at everything, I can connect a lot of it to trauma and unhealed trauma, and I think that also played a role in why my Lyme got so bad when it did. And so working with inmates and listening to this severe trauma and the trauma of their victims and all of this, I started physically, and I didn't connect it, but was getting really, really run down, you know, and now looking at it, I was taking on their trauma. My immune system was being suppressed. Here I have Lyme and co-infections that I didn't know undiagnosed. And that gave that an opportunity just to run rampant. And I had an ankle injury that really, I took, you know, 2 weeks off to go for a backpacking trip. Took 2 weeks off work and I injured my ankle on that trip. And then I came back and my ankle wasn't healing properly. I started losing all feeling and movement from my toes all the way. It was moving up my leg, wasn't sure what was going on. I started having blackouts where I would be in group with a bunch of inmates. And then next thing I know, I'm like somebody, you know, Miss Laney. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I had just periods of blackouts. So that's when I was like, okay, something seriously is wrong with me. And I started just going to, you know, well, started at emergency rooms, going to emergency rooms, like, hey, I'm having these blackouts. Can you do a scan of my brain? I don't know what's going on. I'm losing the feeling and movement of my right, you know, leg. And I don't know what this is. I had an ankle injury and everybody's like, well, it's got nothing to do with that, you know? Oh. And then anyways, there was one doctor who he's like, okay, well, you went backpacking. Have you ever been bitten by a tick? And I said, well, yeah, but that was, you know, at that point it was like 7 years. It's like 7 years ago I got bit by a tick, but, and he's like, no, it would have been recent. It's like, well, you know, I'm going to test you for Lyme disease. So I said, oh, okay. And it came back positive for Lyme, which is now I know super uncommon for you to actually show positive.
So which test did he run out of curiosity?
I believe it was the ELISA, but I had looked at it. So according to him, it was positive. But I had looked at it and it showed that I had antibodies, but it didn't register high enough. But he's like, well, if you have antibodies, you know, you've been exposed. And so he was, unlike other doctors who would have been like, oh, well, it's not high enough, you know, you don't have it. So I was like, oh, wow, this is great. I have a diagnosis. This is awesome. You know, and he said, oh, I'll put you on 2 weeks of doxycycline and you'll be good. And so I'm like, yes, you know, I remember going to work and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Lyme disease. Like, cause they were testing me for cancer, were testing me for all this stuff. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, 2 weeks and I'm going to be great. And little did I know.
And it's just fascinating to me because you have all these doctors that are doing this, but in my mind, I mean, has it ever actually worked? And I haven't heard anyone where it's worked, 2 weeks of doxycycline, and still they just, this is what we do.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. That is just, you know, standard care. And that, yeah, I'm like, please show me somebody who this has worked for.
Yeah, exactly. And I was, it's interesting also when you're talking about working in prison and taking on everybody else's problems. So one of the issues is that when you're dealing with parasites and dealing with these pathogens, you have it's harder for you to draw boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like that kind of because emotionally you have a harder time to draw those boundaries and these pathogens have an easier time to move in. But then also, you know, you become more empathic, you know, you're kind of sucking up everybody else's problems. So it's I always think that that's kind of an interesting correlation when I work with patients.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Cause I couldn't, there was no drawing a line for me. I took work home with me, you know, I thought about it, there was no turning it off. And now looking at it, really, I believe that it truly suppressed my immune system. And that's what allowed all of the Lyme and co-infections just to take off. It was just the perfect environment for it to go nuts. And it did. And two, looking back, you know, I wasn't eating healthy. I was, you know, exposed to EMFs. I was exposed to Wi-Fi. I was exposed to chemicals, you know, I was where's the makeup and all chemical, you know, all the beauty products, all of the household products, just chemicals. So it's like, you know, the perfect combination of everything that got me to the point where it just took over.
And it's that bucket effect, you know, all of them just kind of layer on top of each other. So maybe you're able to handle a little bit of Borrelia and maybe a little bit of Babesia, but then we add all these other things to it. And all of a sudden, you know, Lyme disease just come to its full glory.
Yeah.
So how old were you when in 2010? How old were you then?
2010, I was 18.
Okay.
So young. And then it was 7 years later that I got a diagnosis.
And obviously the 2 weeks doxycycline did not fix it.
No, it didn't fix it. And I started reading up, you know, I started joining Facebook groups. I started reading up and realizing, okay, this is a bigger issue. And because that doctor, he's like, oh, well, you know, you just continue physical therapy. Like it's going to, you'll be fine, you know? And anyway, so I found a specialist, a Lyme literate doctor down in Redwood City, and started working with them. And their approach was antibiotics, you know, IV antibiotics, some herbal stuff. You know, I did the full panel. So I got diagnosed with the Lyme, Babesia, Bartonella, Mycoplasma, Epstein-Barr, found out later parasites, you know, the whole smorgasbord.
Lovely.
All of it. And so they started me on, they started me on oral antibiotics, and then I started having a problem. I was puking up, you know, everything. I couldn't hold food down. And so then they switched me to IV antibiotics, and which I know it works for some people. For me, that wasn't the answer. I got worse and worse, and it was like three different antibiotics at a time, you know, and then always switching it up and everything. And I kept holding on to hope because they were like, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll hang in there. And it just kept getting worse and worse to the point where I'm in bed, you know, all day long. It takes everything just to get up and go to the bathroom. My symptoms just got worse and worse and worse. I mean, I lost my vision. I lost, you know, would lose my smell randomly. I mean, the depression and the anxiety, the pain, the whole giant list of symptoms. Anybody listening to this who has Lyme knows all the craziness that goes along with it.
Yeah, they're all sitting there saying, yep, I got that. Yep, that one. Yep. Yeah. Oh, darn it. It's such a nasty, and like you're saying, I mean, it's hard to know whether you should continue just pushing on with the treatment when you're feeling worse and worse, or, you know, when should you call quit and pivot? You know, it's really hard, and it's different from different people. That's what makes it so challenging.
I know. And there's not one, I don't believe there's one treatment that is, you know, there's no cookie cutter treatment. It's just about like continuing to try to find the right one for your body, you know? And that I got to the point where I'm like, okay, clearly like this, because I had been on the IV antibiotics for a year and was at the point where the suicidal ideations were getting really heavy, you know, the thinking, oh, because the doctor's being like, oh, we can only get you into remission, you know, we might get you better, and then you'll probably, the likelihood of you getting sick again at some point is high. And so the thoughts of, man, I'm so young, like I'm going to have to deal with this my entire life, you know, and so much being in so much pain and isolation, that suicide really did. It felt like an option for me. And it was kind of just a big wake up call. Like, you know what, like there has to be something out there other than this, you know, Western medicine route. And so I started researching just like crazy, you know, was just every free second. I had a lot of free seconds, but I was exhausted all of the time. So anytime I had
every lucid second.
Yes, absolutely. And so I researched, and I found, you know, hyperthermia. I came across some studies on hyperthermia treatment. And so then I started reaching out to all of these different treatment centers who offered hyperthermia. I started finding patients who had gone to all these different clinics, you know, and looking at the success rate. And so for me, I chose Clinic St. George. I don't know if you've heard of them in Germany. And that doctor, he's the one who discovered that hyperthermia cures Lyme disease or kills, you know, and not in every case. It's an 80% success rate. And so I really felt like, you know, in my heart, this is it. Part of, you know, looking back at like, okay, how was I successful when there's a lot of people who have done hyperthermia who it doesn't work for, you know, it doesn't work for a lot of people. It's not this magic treatment. And I think my mindset had like a lot to do with it. I honestly was like, you know, telling my body, like, this is it. This is the treatment. It is going to work. There's nothing else, you know? And I think that I do think that it plays a role, you know, mind over matter, you know, and really, believing in something. But two, it was like after treatment, I really changed my entire lifestyle. You know, I changed what I ate, you know, started eating organically, started, you know, got rid of all of the chemicals in my house, got rid of, started that. So I think too, the treatment, absolutely. It got me to a point where I think it boosted my immune system enough, you know, and I do believe it killed the Lyme bacteria in my body. And I think that it gave me the opportunity with the Lyme gone for my body to fight off everything else that was going on. And then also, you know, like I said, and like I detoxed like crazy, and even up to like today, I mean, I'm in my first trimester of pregnancy, so I'm not doing my sauna and my coffee enemas and that, but that through the years, like I still aid my body in detoxing because we're inundated with toxins. I mean, everywhere we go. And eating clean, eating organically. I mean, I grow most of my food. We raise animals, you know, feed them organically. I've changed my entire lifestyle. And it's paid off, you know. I do. The hyperthermia got me to the point where my body could fight off everything else, you know.
So how long did you stay there? I mean, what did it look like? Was it just hyperthermia, or did you do other things there as well?
So it was a combination of a lot of different things. Hyperthermia was the main treatment. I stayed for 3 weeks. They did IV ozone, IV laser therapy, blue light, magnetic field. And then it was 2 rounds of the full body hyperthermia, and then plasmapheresis. They also did bioidentical, peptides, the peptide shots. Mm-hmm. What else did they do? It was a lot.
So the intravenous laser, is that what did they call it, like photodynamic therapy, or was it several different colors, or what did it look like? I'm curious because that's what I do at my center as well. And then you pair it with like a photosensitizer that attaches itself to pathogens and then yes. You kill them off. So is that kind of what they were doing there as well?
Yeah. And it was the different colored lights.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool. And that back in the States, that was something that I continued. I found a doctor now at the clinic they did, it was like an electrode that they put over. They didn't actually put it inside the vein. And now the doctor that I saw post Germany, he actually put like a filament inside mm-hmm. the vein.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we do as well. Yeah. So you have an optic cable that we put inside the vein.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. I'm glad you found somebody.
Yes. Yes. Me too.
So how was that experience? I mean, because when you're going through antibiotic, then you felt horrible and you know, you just felt like you're going downhill, and then you were doing this. How was that experience for you?
So like going to the treatment center, it was like physically a lot on me. But there was that light at the end of the tunnel, you know, there was, this is going to help me. This is going to get me on the right track. This is going to, you know, this is the answer. And then afterwards, cause I feel like it was one giant herx. I mean, it was like, they killed a lot of nasty stuff. And so about the 3 months post-treatment, it was really rough. It was not some easy, like, I feel great. I felt terrible. But I kept up detoxing. I mean, I did my portable infrared sauna, my castor oil packs, Epsom salt baths, kept up with all of that. And what what I got, well, I was exposed to mold post-treatment, and that was a setback for me. And that's when I found a doctor where I was living who did the IV laser and who did IV ozone. And so I continued the IV laser work with him, and I worked up to a 10 pass ozone. And obviously removed myself from the house where there was mold. And that got me, back on track, but the mold as well was kind of a kicker after that. But anyway, so it was about 3 months of just heavy detoxing, watching my diet, drinking lots of water, getting sunlight, all of that. I think it was by 6 months post-treatment, I went back to work. I was feeling really great at that time. I didn't connect anything, any of my physical ailments to work or that environment that I was working in. But I returned back to the prison, returned back to my old job, and I continued that. So that was 2019 through 2020. I think it was more emotionally, it was getting to me again. My work, going in super dark environment, listening to all this trauma and everything. And, COVID hit, I started working from home, started realizing how much better I was feeling, just emotionally being away from that. Cause I believe it all ties in, it's whole body health, our mental, emotional, spiritual, physical well-being. It's all hand in hand.
That's hard work. I mean, that's emotionally to kind of carry the space for all these people and all the traumas and that's tough.
Yeah. And especially when you're still trying to heal your body, and then now you're taking on all of this. And so I'd say stepping away from that, it really elevated. And then taking a look at all of my traumas, and actually working through my traumas. I spent most of 2020, working through all of the traumas that I had gone through, working through all of this emotionally, and now today, I'd say I'm in the best place I've ever been in my entire life,
But even before gotten bit.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Even before gotten bit.
Okay. Even before getting bit. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. And the contributing factor, you did the treatments at 3 weeks over there in Germany, and that kind of shifted you in the right direction. And then you did follow-up care at your location there. That's local, great therapies. And then you changed your diet, cleaned out your house, all the chemicals and all of that. And then also you did something that not a lot of people do. Obviously also you identified the mold and moved yourself out of that environment and also that stressful environment. But you also live in a house where there's no EMF, no 5G, you live off the grid. And why did you choose to do that?
So that kind of fell in to my husband's family had property up here, and they have his mom's house, and then there was a shop, and it just kind of turned out that we worked out to where we renovated the shop, turned it into a house. And so it was already off grid in the sense we're on solar and well water, sewer. So, we're not tied to the grid, but just realizing, how much EMFs play an effect and Wi-Fi. We do have Wi-Fi. We have it on a timer. So it's only a couple hours a day, to get, cause my husband works from home, he's got a business and we got to take care of that stuff. I don't think people really realize the effect that it has on the body, just being, inundated with these frequencies all day long. And so not all have the opportunity to, because a lot of people live, in high density housing where, you know, there's routers left and right and smart meters and everything. And we are very lucky that we can live this way. Not a lot of people can, you know, we don't have any neighbors. We don't, I mean, we live way out in the middle of nowhere, but it is a beautiful life, and being able to grow our food and raise animals for meat and just know where our food comes from. And it, I mean, all of it plays a big part.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what people, because an interesting thing is that, I mean, Lyme is actually not something that's new. Borrelia has existed for, you know, thousands of years, and mold have existed for thousands of years. I mean, we've been around mold all this time. What has changed are, you know, bringing in things like 5G, EMF, chemicals, all these different factors. And that is why a lot of these infectious agents are become more prevalent, and they become more virulent. I mean, they're much much more active and disease causing than what they used to be, you know, when we did not live in this kind of environment. So by shifting the environment, you can also shift the activity of these pathogens so that they are not as active.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think for me, like for the longest time, I was like, oh, it was the hyperthermia treatment. It cured me. That's what did it. You know, that's it. But looking at the span of everything that I've changed, and I believe that, you know, it's all of those things. You know, you can't just fix one thing and then everything else and expect to live your life like normal and eat junk food and eat chemicals and put chemicals on your body and be around EMFs and expect to feel better. I mean, for me, it's the change everything, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome. So any concerns now with your health, or you just feel good?
No, I feel great. I'm 10 weeks pregnant.
So congratulations.
Thank you. So that has been a little bit of adjustment and just working through, you know, because I feel like, well, for myself, the medical trauma, you know, and the trauma of being sick and all of that, and just keeping that in check. Like, okay, I'm tired because I'm growing another human being. I'm not sick. I'm well, you know, and just checking myself so I don't, you know, go into that mindset of, oh, something's wrong with me. But yeah, my pregnancy is going great so far. And, you know, it's crazy because when I had Lyme, I was just in the depths of the sickness. I didn't think that children would be possible. There was no way. I could barely take care of myself. I'd never be able to have kids. I wouldn't want to pass that on to them. I, you know, all of that. And so to be able to be where I'm at today and with my health and being able to grow a healthy baby, it's just amazing. You know, it's something I never thought would be possible.
That's great. Are you on any kind of supplements now? Or you're just kind of eating clean and being in a good environment?
Yeah, eating clean, being in a good environment. You know, obviously I'm taking like prenatals and cod liver oil and stuff to support that. But I do natural, you know, like if, I don't know, like I'll use colloidal silver, or I try to stay away from, you know, Western medicine as much as possible, unless it's absolutely needed. That's just my personal choice. I just don't think that it's necessary for me. And yeah, I absolutely have to.
Well, I mean, it's the Western medical model really does not know how to deal with what you have, as you've seen for the, you know, during the 7 years you're running in and out. So it really, you have to recognize that you need to go to where the solution for what you have exists. You know, and obviously if you break a leg, then you go to the ER and help them fix it. But, you know, for Lyme disease, you know, they really don't have solutions there at all.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. So apparently your solution was better than 2 weeks of doxycycline.
Yes.
Good. Well, is there any kind of words of wisdom you would like to end with, that you feel that this is something you would like to have known when you started this journey? Obviously, when when it started back in 2010, you really didn't even know that you were on the journey. But say 2017 or, you know, something that you wish you would have known when you started, other than that doxycycline for 2 weeks is not it.
Yeah. Just be an advocate, I think, for yourself. I mean, really do your research. Never give up. I mean, I truly believe there's a treatment for everybody's body, you know, and there's a solution for everything. I think there's so many people suffering who just want to give up because they feel like they, you know, come to the end of the ropes. But just keep fighting and you'll, you know, never give up. The treatment for you is out there. Also taking a look at your trauma, and healing that, I believe that has a big part, in people's health. You know, I believe traumas can really wear down the body. And so taking a look at that as well, and just looking at the whole aspect of health, mind, body, and spirit, and, you know, working at it from all angles, not just the physical or the emotional, you know, look at all of it.
I couldn't agree more. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today, and thank you so much for sharing your journey and giving, you know, this information and these life experiences that I know is going to help countless of people that are tuning in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And continue to enjoy the sunshine there in California.
Yes.
Good. Oh. Bye now.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.